I remembered walking around downtown Chicago in those boots. And then I remember the hilarity of the fact that I brought those boots to rural Maine to hike in the wilderness. I mean, my God.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story.
Hi, friends. As a reminder, this year of the podcast, we are bringing back essays from the very start of the show, and I am giving you a peek behind the scenes to explore not only what writing choices I made when I wrote the essay, but what it's like to listen to these essays all these years later. What in my life is similar? What is different? What's surprising? You'll get the entire inside scoop. The essay you're about to hear feels really fitting during this month of love because it talks about my partnership with my husband, Jamie. I want to chat with you before you listen to the episode about what it was like for me to listen to it again all these years later. And after you hear the essay, I'm going to talk about the behind the scenes of writing it, what inspired it, and how I went about crafting it. I originally read this piece aloud during episode 3 of Heart of the Story in February of 2021. And it felt like a real time travel to listen to it again because I actually wrote the first draft of this in 2018. And so here we have an essay that started 8 years ago, and it was wild to think about how different and how similar my life is now. Originally, when I wrote it, Gio was 4.5. He is now 12.5. We were living in a suburb of Chicago when I wrote it in 2018, and I had just gotten brought on as a full-time professor at a university in Chicago, and we thought we would be in Illinois forever. We were dealing with all the things you deal with when you have an almost kindergartner in the house, still some tantrums and the juggle of just, okay, if a kid gets sick, which parent stays home which day? And Jamie and I were both trying to really launch our careers in many ways. You know, I was really trying to eventually go down the track to become tenured as a professor, and Jamie was new to Chicago. We had just moved there a couple of years before, and he was really trying to establish himself in his job. And so it felt like we were just kind of in survival mode. And now here we are. Gio is in middle school in 7th grade. I'm 42. Jamie's 52. We only have 5.5 years left with Gio before he goes off to college or has a gap year or whatever he decides to do. We currently live in Florida, and we actually just put in an offer on a house after having rented here for 3.5 years. And to listen to this essay again was like time traveling through all these different years, because when I wrote the essay originally in 2018, we were in couples therapy. Life had been really difficult moving from Massachusetts, which is Jamie's hometown, to my hometown of Chicago with a little baby. And in the midst of just juggling so much, we barely had any time for each other.
And one day after we had a therapy appointment, we went for a walk around the neighborhood near the therapist's office. My mom was watching Gio, and so we had like an extra hour of childcare. Back then, everything was marked by how much childcare we had. Was like, oh my gosh, okay, we have 5 minutes left before the babysitter has to go home or before my mom has to leave. And when we went on that walk, there was a moment of spark of like, oh, I remember you. I remember you. Oh my gosh, I like you. Why do we fight? And so now, as you're about to hear this essay, which talks about walks and hikes throughout our life, it feels equally fitting. It's like someone dropped this into my headphones. Well, my producer, Michelle, dropped it into my headphones right when I needed to hear it, because life is still hard. Life hasn't and probably won't get any easier than it was back then. And in the midst of the stress of trying to secure a home here and all the complications that go with it, we certainly aren't our brightest, warmest selves. And the stress, you know, can oftentimes create a little bit of tension between a couple. And so to listen to this essay was such a reminder of what matters most.
The first time that Jamie and I ever went for a hike in the woods, I brought, I kid you not, suede fashion boots with a 3-inch wedge heel. You see, I grew up wearing a hodgepodge of mismatched hand-me-downs, a pink hat, a purple scarf, an oversized coat. Our family was resourceful. If we outgrew our boots, we would put plastic shopping bags over our feet and stuff them into gym shoes. That way, if we stepped in the snow, the plastic would act as a water barrier. When I was in graduate school and had to pay for my own clothes with my own money, I spent it only on trendy items, pointy-toed boots, coats that were flashy but non-insulated. After all, I was a city thing at that point, walking along Michigan Avenue every day to the Tribune Tower for my internship at Chicago Magazine. Though I had always been an athletic person, I had rarely hiked in the woods. There were no woods in Chicago. I was more likely to jog on the lakeshore path looking at the skyline. So during one of my early visits to see Jamie at his parents' lake house in Maine, I brought, God help me, my suede wedge boots. On our first morning, when we prepped for a hike up the steep wooded hill that I'd have called a mountain in the Midwest, Jamie asked me where my winter boots were. I pointed to the wedges. No, he said, your hiking boots. Again, I pointed to the wedges, at which point he drove me straight to Eastern Mountain Sports so I could buy a pair of Sorels. In the woods, we were stripped bare. It was just us, the crack of the twigs, the creaking of birch limbs, the smell of the decaying leaves, the fog of our breaths, the glitter of the cold sun peeking through the branches. There was nothing to distract us. Jamie moved thorny twigs to the side and pointed out roots on the trail so I wouldn't trip, even though I almost always did. He put his finger to his lips to signal silence so we could listen to a chickadee. I held his hand, swung it in the air, gave him spontaneous hugs, did dances, and ran around as he laughed at my energy. I pushed him to go further, steeper, to reap the reward of the hilltop view overlooking the lakes and the hills. He got me to slow down and observe. Those walks and talks built our relationship and reminded us of what was important. We were present with each other. We explored. We noticed the world. We were grateful for simple things. The sight of a bright red cardinal or a timid doe. We were grateful for each other. We've been together for 16 years now. Whenever our relationship feels hard, It's actually because life is hard and we deal with things differently. It reminds me of our New England hikes. The inclines are steep, the terrain is tough, but we are here to help each other, not blame each other for the difficulty of the hike. Yet when life gets hard, that's what all of us are inclined to do, to get mad at our partners for life's obstacles and our individual voids. In the past, I've wanted Jamie to be my everything person, both my running partner and my couch cuddling companion, my insightful introvert and my social extrovert, my practical planner and my spontaneous leaper. Basically, I've wanted Jamie to be a hybrid mix of me and him. While I never expect my sister or any of my friends to have multiple personalities, I have sometimes expected Jamie to, because he's my spouse. And there have been times that Jamie wished I were more like him. He has gotten annoyed when my restless energy is too high, or frustrated when I've overbooked our weekend with too many plans, or annoyed when I left a mess in the kitchen. Wouldn't life be so much easier if we were more like each other? But we can't forget our lessons from all of those walks in the woods, that our differences can be an asset. Our relationship excels, as it did on those trails, with the pull and the tug. Me challenging Jamie to be a bit more adventurous, him encouraging me to slow down a little more. Otherwise, I would continue to race through life in the wrong boots, getting blisters and not noticing a single plant, and Jamie might get so wrapped up in the observing that he might not expand his vision to other summits. Those hikes had pushed us to grow, to still maintain our core selves, but also be flexible enough to try out the other person's way too. We've had to do the same thing in our marriage. We've had to take all the energy we might use to bristle against our differences and channel it into gratitude. But we can't do anything if we aren't first paying attention to each other. And so, we now go for walks around the neighborhood when Gio is in school or art class. It certainly isn't the woods, but it has some trees and a path to walk side by side, and that's enough. As we walk, we're able to hold hands and talk without being interrupted. Anyone with kids can understand the strange freedom of strolling without a stroller or of walking for pleasure and not to a playground. It is peaceful and quiet. And when our hands clasp together, sometimes it's like a spark is shooting between us. We're connected in that stripped down way, like we're naked with each other. Silent and synchronized, power passing between our palms. I look at Jamie's handsome, crinkly eyes, his peppered beard, the slant of his smile, and I feel overcome with love. Those eyes have watched me walk down the aisle and be rushed into the ER when I was near death. And his beard, well, he had grown it when he found out I was pregnant after 2 unsuccessful years of IVF. That beard was a sort of good luck charm, growing as Gio grew in utero, and he has kept it ever since. Jamie's crooked smile had lured me in on that first night that I'd met him while we were having fun at a Florida bar, and now here it is still, 16 years later. Despite so many moves and losses, a global pandemic, life has been hard, yes, but I love Jamie because he has traversed it with me. We have a deep history. These days, we walk a couple mile loop. At times, Jamie's pace quickens to match mine, and other times, I pause to notice a finch that he points out. We talk about our marriage and Gio along the way, how we have stayed strong in the midst of hardship, how we're raising a boy who is incredibly kind. After one such walk a while back, we approached the lot where our car was parked, and Jamie lifted my hand, then kissed the back of it. We stood there for a moment, reflecting. "Well, Nader," he said, smiling, "I'd say we've done a pretty darn good job so far." "We certainly have," I said. "We certainly, certainly have." It was like reaching a crest on the way to the summit, looking down at all of our hard work, at the beauty and challenges we've witnessed along the way, and relishing in it all together. There you go, love.
Wow. That was something.
Isn't that so funny? At the end, I love how Michelle included that little part of the clip where it's like, you know, there it is, love. It's so interesting to listen to this again. When I think about the writing of it, here's what I remember. I remember that the image of the suede wedge boots came to me first. I don't know what sparked it. I don't know what made me remember those boots. But in quick succession, I remembered the boots. I remembered walking around downtown Chicago in those boots. And then I remember the hilarity of the fact that I brought those boots to Maine, to rural Maine, to hike in the wilderness. I mean, my God. And the memory of that made me laugh really hard. And I knew as a writer that I had to capture that moment. And so to think about this for anyone who wants to write their own stories, get them on the page, the very first thing that I would say is pay attention to the objects that take your attention. And then follow those objects to see where they go. Pay attention to the flashes of scene that arise in your brain. And follow the memories in a sort of stream of consciousness way to see where they go. Because when I started writing that piece, I started with the boots. And then it morphed into the memory of going to Maine. And then it morphed into, wow, we're really different kinds of hikers and walkers. And, ooh, we're very different as people, too. And, ooh, maybe these hikes are a metaphor for a relationship, a marriage. But the feeling underneath all of that, that really probably spurred the memory, was this moment of going for a walk after a therapist's appointment, holding hands and feeling a spark between us that I hadn't felt in a while, and going, okay, what's this all about? And so then it sort of all blended together. And by the time I finished drafting, then revised the piece, and then eventually, you know, a couple of years later, read it on this podcast for the first time. The thing about the therapist's office wasn't even in there because we really started using walks as a way to reconnect. So from the moment of that therapist's office on, whenever Gio was in an art class or he was somewhere, we would set aside weekly time to walk. And it was our way to reconnect. Then over time, all these walks sort of blended together. And so it really became just in general about what it's like to be a couple, two people who are very opposite, and how those differences both attract us to each other and then repel us, but how if we really cherish it, they can be an asset. And so I remember writing the line, "We're tense with each other, not because the marriage is hard or not because we don't like each other, but because life is hard." once I realized that just like a hike, life is really, really hard. It's like it all kind of clicked into place, this extended metaphor. And so I urge you, the next time you're sitting down to write, one, maybe pay attention to any recent events that have made you go, the way I paid attention to that walk after the therapist's office. And then notice any objects that come into your mind. Notice any memories that come into your mind and follow them. Write about them without necessarily knowing where they're going to take you. I did not sit down to write a marriage essay with the extended metaphor of a hike. When I looked back at my first draft today from 2018, it's half done. I didn't even fully flesh out the whole hiking metaphor. I just knew I wanted to get that memory of Maine on the page, and I wanted to start talking about what it's like to be a couple who has differences and how we try to come back together. I hope this inspires you to jot down some objects, jot down some memories, and follow the thread and just see where they go. If this was helpful to you, please like, follow, subscribe to the podcast. That instantly gets it into your podcast feed. Share it with a friend, pass it along. And if you're so willing, leave a review. I would be so grateful. I am also grateful for my dear producer, Michelle Rado, whom I have had a beautiful partnership with this podcast, and will continue to do so. So, so grateful for you, Michelle. And remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next time.